evening and welcome back to the Nasty Brew Podcast. This is episode 17 for Wednesday, March 27th, 2013. My name is Colm, and as always, there's no I in the word podcast. So here he is, the heart and soul of the NationalsReview.com, Charlie.
Mr. Colm, long time since we've spoken. Oh, wait, we've been trying to get a video stream going for everybody that is excited about that.
But we
haven't done one of these in over a month, so.
Well,
Colm, why don't you talk a little bit about the video side of it? Because that's a new thing, and people might be interested in that, and that's your area of expertise, as it were.
Well, no, we're just trying, for everyone listening, because we have a lot of listeners right now for the audio, we decided tonight, hey, let's do something for video just to test it out. So this is just a test, so if you're listening to this and next time we tweet out when we're doing a show, you can come to gfqlive.tv and you can come here and watch us record the show and actually see things that go on before and after the show. And we have a chat room, so you're able to be in the chat room here and you can talk to us. And if you have any questions, maybe we'll answer them. But this, like I'm saying, you're hearing us, and this is the way we're always going to be as well, audio. But we wanted to also add a little something. So
absolutely. GFQ, good job.
Yeah, GFQ Network is where you need to go to find when we do this.
It's the future, Colm.
Some say it. Some say it.
It's the future.
So, no, it's also great to have you here. I mean, it is a new setting. I mean, it is – we have to remember that we are recording audio, which I usually will forget. I will just look at the camera and assume that everyone can see what I'm saying, but I do that anyway. But this is also, I believe, your first time ever on video.
I'm like the Amish. I've never actually been filmed before today, so.
Really?
Should be interesting.
Should be interesting. Yeah. Are you,
I've certainly Skyped people, but I don't think I've ever done any sort of live podcasting or recorded podcasting video, so.
Wow.
As you can see, I've dressed up in my worst state ever shirt in honor of the Terps still being in the NIT. And the state, for those of you that can't see it, is an outline of North Carolina. So,
which that is my home state, so I could never wear such shirts.
Yes,
so.
Yes. It's more sports joke than a actual hatred of the state of North Carolina. It's a beautiful place. I just tend to dislike the competitive schools from that state.
Well, I'm wearing a Bryce Harper jersey, and we are going to be talking about him later on the show.
I have a feeling he'll come up in every podcast episode that we do.
Really?
I just have a feeling he's going to be talked about a lot this year.
I think so as well. But before we start, did you get a beverage at all?
I did, actually. No beer tonight,
really?
Colm. I don't have any beer in the fridge, so I have a glass of red vino.
Really?
Feeling very high class today.
Look at that glass. Apparently you have a nice pour and a heavy hand.
It's you gotta put a fifth of the bottle in there. You know how it works. Five glasses per bottle. Four if you're thirsty.
Or if they call you nasty.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Right.
And you, sir, you are drinking a beer this evening, back on the wagon?
Back on the wagon. It took going to Boston to bring it out of me, actually.
Oh, that's right. You had a little trip this weekend.
I did. I had a great time in Boston. I drank mostly – what was I drinking mostly? Tequila and scotch pretty much was my entire time. I had Sam Adams because I was in Boston. But tonight I went to the fridge and I had a great 12-pack variety from the people at Magic Hat. And I have the Magic Hat number 9. I think it ranks up there in my top, like, I would say 10 IPAs or not quite IPA.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little different. It's good. It doesn't taste like your typical IPA, but it's not a bad beer.
It is not. And 5.1% alcohol.
Well, that'll do it. That's our buddy Essay's, like, one of his favorite beers, right?
Yes. I believe he brought this over to my house, so that is probably the reason why I'm drinking it.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah,
drinking somebody else's beer.
If you want
the best kind of beer there is.
if you're playing at home, just go to, what is it, magichat.net, and you can check out. They have a lot of different varieties of beers. You should check them out. You like
very
that?
Good. Maybe we'll get some sponsorship.
Oh, I'm not saying anything. I just enjoy the beers.
Money. I could just use free beer.
Oh, and I'd like to note, I totally forgot from the beginning, we actually have a third person on the show. He's sort of... He's there if we need him. He's not really a baseball fan, but I just wanted to mention I want to thank him too. We have Suncast behind the wheels of steel tonight. So hello, Suncast, and thank you for putting that web address.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Suncast.
All right, we the people. I got to get one of those in there.
There you go. If you do have any baseball stuff you want to throw in there in the middle of it, go right ahead. Don't
I can talk trash about Tigers.
Yeah, he's from Detroit, too, so he does.
Well, actually,
than Verlander, I don't really know anybody else, but, I mean, how can you hate on Verlander? He's the best thing that's ever happened to the Tigers.
Well, he is on the team, that's for sure.
He's one of those pitchers. Something. It's like, I go with a Verlander, Halliday, Kershaw. I thought Medlin was going to be one of those guys, but I don't know.
It's not quite there yet. How about... Are you talking about the best of the best? Because there's a guy in D.C.
Strasburg, obviously. Yes. I forgot about him. Terrible. Anyway, what are we doing? We need to talk Nats here because that's what we're here about.
That was about the longest intro we've ever had. So let's get right into what our topics are.
Yes. For today. So first, why don't you go ahead with the first thing? Sorry.
Well, you know, we wanted to talk about spring training, right? Spring training's almost over. This will be our last podcast before the season starts. So, first thought is Bryce Harper is unstoppable in spring training. He's batting about 500. His OPS is something like 1,200. All of this doesn't matter because it's spring training stats, but Bryce Harper is going at spring training like it's a playoff game, and it's awesome to see.
It is.
I don't know if you paid any attention to this, Colm. Have you seen him hit yet this spring?
There was a game, and I think I brought it up to you the other day. I believe it was, let's see, today is Wednesday. I guess it was before I left, so maybe last Wednesday or Thursday. I saw him in a game where he went 4-for-4. He had at least 5 RBIs in that game. It was just unbelievable. You were just seeing, it's just his swing this year. I don't know, the best way I can explain it is when I saw him play, yes, it was great to see him play, but he just didn't look as relaxed as I feel like he looks now. It's like you could tell that he was a rookie. You know what I mean? And now he has, like, that swagger to him. So when he gets
jumpy,
up to the plate.
A little jumpy when he's up to the plate. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Right. So, I don't know. It's just I am really high on him. I mean, I sent you a text today that was basically what I thought what his stats would be. And we're going to get into predictions later. And we can talk about that later. But I really do feel like this is going to be one of those years where Bryce Harper is going to start putting it together. The Nats are just going to start rolling through teams. And this kid is going to put together this ridiculous season that we're going to see. So
I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's an unprecedented type of player. And I think we won't be disappointed with what we see from him. You know who else has been doing really well this spring?
Who?
Zimmerman's looked good.
True.
He looked like he picked up right where he left off second half of last year. He had an MVP caliber second half after he got that cortisone shot in the shoulder. So he's looking great.
He's
Danny Espinosa has been great. Yeah, well, Zimmerman's got, you don't really worry about what Zimmerman's going to do as long as he's healthy. Danny Espinosa's looked really good this spring too, which, you know, again, the numbers don't matter that much, but he was hurt. And so, at least for now, I feel like he's healthy, right? I mean, we don't know if that shoulder is going to degrade. We don't know what's going to happen, but he's not coming out with a million strikeouts. He's not coming out looking awful. I mean, he's always going to have the most strikeouts on the team probably or close to it because that's the kind of hitter he is, but he's not looking like he can't hit right now. So hopefully that shoulder's healthy and he'll be able to play all year.
I think the shoulder is healthy. I mean, He's another guy that looks like he's coming to us. I mean, we have to remember, what is this? This will be his third year in the league?
Yeah.
Starting? Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who's putting it together now, too.
The bats have looked really good. There's nobody in the starting lineup to be really disappointed with. LaRoche hasn't been great. But LaRoche
slow
is,
start LaRoche.
Yeah, he's a slow start. Maybe he'll have a typical season this year where he has like a 700 OPS in the first half and a 900 OPS in the second half, which if you have a team that you think is going to make the playoffs already, you prefer a second half player to a first half player. Not that you want the whole team to be that way, but you want him hitting in October, right?
Yeah, that's all that matters right now in my mind. Yeah. I mean, there's enough offense where hopefully one part of the lineup picks up and picks up the other half, you know?
Yeah. Now, the pitching
Going back to what you said about Zimmerman, though, it's like, okay, yeah, we don't have to worry about him, but the only worry I have, and I'm sure it's yours, is how long is he going to stay healthy for? And even not even him. It's like I always hate this time of year because you go into the season like you're hoping guys are ready to go, and then all of a sudden you hear about all these injuries like right before like the season starts, and then they try to play a little bit and then they're out. So I'm just worried.
It's the way of the game, you know.
Right.
They have a good team. They have a young enough team that you can't put too much stock in people getting hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. You hope they come back quickly. If it's in the outfield, you hope that they have enough between, Tyler Moore and everybody, you know, Roger Bernardina and even Lombardozzi. You hope if people get hurt for, a month at the most that you're set. It's right. When somebody is out for a season that you have to worry, and there's no guarantee that that's going to happen, so you just got to hope it doesn't.
In my opinion, I'm going to say this is a bold statement because I'm a Homer fan, but like I follow baseball as you for years, right? When I look at this lineup and even like through the bench, it looks to me with the spring going, I mean, we got guys like Rendon and Micah Owings even playing amazing. I look at it and I'm just like, I don't remember a team like this since like the Yankees back in the 90s.
Well, actually, you know what I think it reminds me of? The Yankees, I don't think, fit because the Yankees had so many superstars. This reminds me of like what the Cardinals have put together so many years. Just like six guys that can have like an 850 OPS. Like, there's no break in the lineup, even if like, okay, so maybe Zimmerman and Harper in the middle scare you, right. But nobody scares you to death up and down the lineup, but everybody worries you, right? There's no break except for the pitcher. That's kind of what this lineup looks like to me. It's just consistently good, very good hitting. And maybe Harper, maybe Zimmerman are great. And then there'll be a month or two where Worth is unstoppable and a month or two where LaRoche is on fire and Desmond and everybody else. But It's not like those Yankees teams where it was just like, oh my God, 1 through 9, they can all kill us, or it's going to be, you know, everybody's going to hit 25 home runs. But I agree with you to the point where like the lineup up and down is pretty vicious, right?
I mean, it's like almost like they have each guy fills like a role too, and then the guys on the bench fill in those spots when needed in just a ridiculous way. But since we're in spring training, let's also talk about who you think is your more impressing you that you didn't think was going to be impressing and most disappointing to you.
Well, you know, I guess I'm always on the, you know, I'm always checking out exactly what Espinoza's doing, right? I've always been a fan of him. I've always thought that he can really be special. So, you know, I don't think he's a 300 hitter, but the fact that he's tearing it up in spring gives me hope that, you know, look, if you look at what he did, for whatever reason last year, his April was terrible. He was lost at the plate. He looked bad. And then the end of September, he was awful because he hurt his shoulder. But basically from May 1st to September 15th, he was the best or second best hitting second baseman in the league. Wow. That doesn't mean he was a 350 hitter, but he was like a, you know, 270 hitter with a 340 on base and a 450 slugging or whatever those numbers were, something like that. That made him basically the second best hitting or, you know, top three hitting second baseman in the league. Plus, he's got a glove that he could play at shortstop. So to see him come out and hit excites me because I think he can be an all-star caliber player. And the other one that excites me
really?
Is,
whoa. You're saying all – he's an all-star second baseman now. He's one of the best four second basemen in the league.
I think absolutely wow. He had the numbers in between. If what he did in April didn't – if he came in May or if April was gone, I think his numbers put him at an all-star level. Yeah, because when you look at the NL – there aren't a ton of great hitting second basemen. There just aren't. I mean, Brandon Phillips, okay. But then, you know, who else are you talking about, really? The guy in the Pirates? See.
No, the Cardinal guy that was amazing in the playoffs. I think that guy's off. Kuzma? Is that his name?
Cosma?
Yeah, Cosma. Like
no.
I think he's good, man. I think that guy's going to be really good this year. I'm high on him.
Well, maybe. If you rank – so Aaron Hill was the best hitting second baseman in the league by a lot last year.
That guy's
Aaron Hill. And then you have Neil Walker on Pittsburgh.
Terrible.
Who batted 280, 340 slugging – 340 on base, 420 slugging.
That's not terrible.
That's the second best in terms of OPS. Then you have Marco Scudero. 306, 350, 400.
Oh, that's good.
Then you have Brandon Phillips, 280, 320, 420, 430.
Wait, Altuve.
You know what Jose Altuve hit?
Oh, he's American League now. That's right.
Well, either way, last year he had a 290 average, 340 on base, and a 399 OPS slugging. So Espinosa is going to outslug Walker and Altuve and Scudero and Phillips. And he's going to have a better on-base percentage than Phillips and possibly Altuve and Walker and Scudero, maybe close to it. And so I'm just telling you what he did in between those milestones. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But if he just does what he did in May, June, July, August, and the first half of September, 4.5 months last year, out of the six in the season, he's the best – probably the best overall, maybe second best or third best hitting second baseman in the league last year. That's what those numbers give him.
Wow. It's true.
So I guess this is why I'm higher on him than everybody else, because everybody else sees the strikeouts and they remember what he did in the playoffs. I'm not saying he's a perennial all-star. What I'm saying is I think he has the ability to make an all-star game or two in his career. I think he has enough pop to turn people's heads, and he's not going to have a great batting average, but he has a good enough eye that he walks a lot. Right. So he's got the on base. I think it's possible. So the point was I liked seeing him hit really well this spring because I think it bodes well for what he's going to do this early part of the year.
Well, I'm going to give you mine now. My and then you'll do your disappointment. My most impressing, Wilson Ramos.
Yes.
I love that he is here. He's back from the injury. This guy is, like, immediately said, it's like my position. It's my staff. I could not be happier that Ramos has stepped up because now we have him and you have Kurt Suzuki as your backup. And you have, I think it's the best two catchers in the league, hands down.
I mean, frankly, I don't know who Buster Posey's backup is or anybody else's, but.
Right.
I mean, they're going to probably do 50-50 split, close to it, because Ramos is still coming back from being hurt. And because Kirk Suzuki's a good defensive catcher. But, you know, the two of them together, I think Ramos can really hit. And I think it's going to be exciting to watch him and see how he develops this year. You know, maybe Salvador Perez and whoever the hell his backup is in Kansas City is still a better two catchers than the two of them. Milwaukee's got Lou Croy and somebody else that's good. I can't remember. But, I mean, in terms of two guys that are going to split time as much as they are, I don't think anybody has a tandem like that.
Nothing, yeah. And those are established. I mean, I guess more Suzuki's more established than
Tom. Yeah, and Suzuki definitely hit better when he came, so hopefully that keeps up.
Right. All right, who's most disappointing for you? Anyone?
Heron hasn't looked great so far. He hasn't looked bad, but he's got lit up. It's hard with the pitchers because they pitch on such weird schedules. They pitch short outings. Heron has, the pitching staff in general hasn't looked spectacular, but I don't know if that's any. Yeah, I mean, just like you can't take the offensive numbers too seriously, I can't take the pitching numbers very seriously either. The only pitcher that's looked great is Gio, and maybe that's because he went to the World Baseball Classic and really had to pitch his ass off. Kind of disappointed that. Kind of disappointed that Chris Young did as well as he did because they had to let him go.
You're right.
Maybe if he had pitched a little worse, he wouldn't have had. I guess he doesn't technically have any major league deal yet, but he's going to get one, and so they're going to lose him. And that would have been nice to have Chris Young pitching for you in the in AAA until you needed him. So
I was just amazed that we even had like. I mean, he was even an option and not another team that he was going out for. It was, I mean, I was hoping he was going to make this team. Like a long relief, Chris Young, are you kidding?
Well, I think he probably signed on saying, look, I'm a starter. If you can put me on, if somebody gets hurt, you can put me in as a starter. If somebody doesn't, his option said that if they were going to send him to the minors, he would have the ability to opt out. And I'm sure part of that discussion was, I'm not a reliever, so... Don't wow. sign me and think I'm going
to
be in the bullpen.
Well, he needs to change that attitude. If he becomes a long reliever, he could have a long career.
I don't know. He might get a chance at a starting opportunity after what he did this spring. And then you say, well, you know, starting 30 games a year, doesn't matter who it's for. That's what a pitcher wants to do.
Right.
So.
All right.
But so no major disappointments. No major disappointments.
Well, here's my thought on spring training, because I probably caught maybe 5 games all of spring training, and I have to say, the record, I believe we were 11-14. So, I mean, I don't believe any of the numbers mean anything. I believe there is a lot to be said about, like, just looking at a lineup, that the different lineups they're throwing at you and how they did in the different lineup spots. And also with pitchers, it seems like they try one game. And that one game, they throw all their stuff at it. And if you see one of those games where they pitched, like, stellar, you know that their stuff is good. If they had a spring where you didn't really see anything, like, they came out for their 2-3 innings and they just got rocked every time, that's a problem, I think.
I think spring training is less for people like us who can look at the stats and look at the numbers and see what people did, and really more for – it really is on the scouting side where people can look and see see a hitter's approach and if it looks weird or if somebody's – if somebody looks just completely lost out there, that's a red flag, right? Or if somebody was hurt and comes back and looks healthy, that's good to see. Things like that, like what I was talking about with Espinosa or with Zimmerman. Zimmerman had off-season surgery on his shoulder and he's looking good too. So those are the kind of things you can really look at and go, okay, that's worth it. But for the most part, spring training really is the stretching before the season, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's just days away. So next, we decided to do a really popular, topic that's out there. Bryce Harper, and this is the first time I can ever remember this, is that now Bryce Harper went out on Twitter, and he has, who knows, hundreds of thousands of followers now?
Probably.
And he basically said, I want to know what you guys think about a walk-up music, and apparently they can pick 3 songs for their walk-up music. So Bryce picked his 3,
right.
Or picked 2? Did he pick 2 and then he let Twitter pick the 3rd?
I know he asked Twitter, and Twitter answered, and Twitter gave him, and now he has 3 songs. And I think at least one of them was fan suggestions, but they might have all been.
Right. I just remember hearing the story when he was asking, and then I think, in my opinion, I mean, we can talk about all 3, and I can play a little 10 seconds for live people who are live right now will not be able to hear the music, but
right.
If you're listening to it right now in audio, that's you in the future. You'll hear the song. So his first one, and I'll go in the order that I saw them, and you can just tell me. The first one that I heard about was by Moby. And it was, but I know that song is Flower, and they were calling it something else.
Yeah, I've heard that song before, but.
Right, it's the one, I mean, let's play it now.
Down, That seems like an odd walk-up song to me.
I think so too. I'm not feeling it at all.
All right. So then the next one he's got?
He has a new song, which I am a huge, huge fan of.
Is this the Imagine Dragons
song? Yes, Imagine Dragons song. Like, this is like one that's on my playlist that I listen to like religiously. So when he picked it, I was like, oh, that's great. It depends where he picks it to, because it has a really long buildup. So I don't know where he's going to pick it, but we'll play it now.
Again, I don't know. It's a really good song. It seems like a little weak to be a walk-up song to me. Like the intro, maybe they're not playing the intro, but yeah.
It's really slow.
Trying to put the pitcher to sleep beforehand.
Yeah. And then the one I heard about on Twitter, which everyone was, I think the best choice, and I assume you think so as well, is, and we'll play it now. It's Tricky, Tricky, Tricky.
Yes, you're right. I just heard it because I just listened to the podcast. Right. That is a good song. It's a classic. It brings people, I wouldn't say much older than us, but like people that grew up with hip hop being part of the pop culture remember that song. And people that are younger than us probably know it too, because Run DMC is like legendary, right? And so, I mean, obviously Bryce Harper is younger than us by a significant amount. So I like that song. I think that's a good song. It's probably not the first time it's been used as a walk-up song, but it's a cool song.
Yeah, no, definitely a good choice. So
maybe he wanted to do My Adidas, but he's sponsored by, I don't know, Under Armour, so he can't.
Yeah, exactly. I always love that Under Armour commercial now where you see Bryce picking up those weights, and I'm like, it's Bryce Harper! And then they show other people, I'm like, I don't know who those other people are in the commercial.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know who they are either. I know who Bryce is, though.
So you had a great idea. You went to Twitter then when we talked about this, and you said, hey, why don't you tweet us and let us know what you would pick as your walk-up music? So we had a few suggestions. Yeah, good ones.
Well, one of them said, which, you know, this isn't the most original one I've ever heard, but I do kind of like it. It's, you know, John Fogerty's song, Center Field.
Yes.
Which we'll play now. Classic John Fogerty Center Field for Denard Span. That was James, I believe, Cuccinelli, at James Cuccinelli, suggested that. And that's just a classic song. It's a cool song. Right. And if you're a center fielder, you can be like, you know, center field's a position of like Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio. You can feel kind of cool to walk up and be like, yeah, I'm the center fielder. So yeah. I'm sure there's an amount of pride in that.
Yeah. See, when I think center fielder, I think Ken Griffey. He runs a show in center field in my heaven. Well, it's Ken Griffey in my heaven.
He's retired now. Maybe you should think of like Matt Kemp or something like that.
No. In my heaven, in my personal heaven, like if I go to heaven, I can watch baseball. Ken Griffey plays my center field.
All right. I like that. They called him the kid because he was so much fun to watch and because he was young. So came up. Ken Griffey was pretty fun in terms of like players that you could be like, I saw him play. He's on that
before
list.
Before he got hurt.
Like when you want to tell your grandkids about, like, I saw him play when he was on Seattle.
Yeah. Before the injury, he was probably the best player I'd ever seen play in my entire life. I mean, I remember with that little batting stance where he would do that like that, and he would just – that swing was ridiculous. And I saw him – the thing where he took me away and became like my favorite player is the 93 All-Star game at Baltimore Orioles in the Home Run Derby where I saw him hit the warehouse, and it was like – I'd never seen such power and ridiculous.
That's where there's like one of the bronze baseball plaques on the warehouse, right?
Right. Correct.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was the most unbelievable. And I was there and we were just chanting his name and it was like, oh my God. So Ken Griffey Jr. Anyway, songs. Where do we go?
So another song, one of our buddies, friend of the show, Mike Dankmeyer, friend of mine from way back when, suggested, and I like this one a lot, Huey Lewis in the News, Power of Love.
Next time you feel it, it might make you sad. Next time you feel it, it might make you sad.
Our buddy SA at SA51, Magic Stick by 50 Cent. I guess because, you know, Magic Stick, your baseball bat. Not my favorite song, but, you know, it's kind of cool that you got something to talk about your baseball bat, I guess. And then our buddy Ace, always being.
I don't even understand. Are we even? Is this even an entry? This is ridiculous. Did you listen to this song?
Yeah, I listened to the song. We'll play it right now. And this song is from a movie. What is it? It's that Robert Rodriguez movie.
Yeah.
Some scene where the guy's walking into a bar, and I guess Ace is probably picturing the scene and him walking around. I think it's from Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, there's one. But there was one more Twitter input that I really liked, actually.
This was a good entry.
It's such a great song. It's called Yakety Sack, so we'll play it right now. And that is the Benny Hill.
It's so good.
If you've ever seen Benny Hill, you hear that song and you just think of like the fat old British guy being chased around by a bunch of people in like fast motion. And he actually said like the point of this would be like, how could the pitcher not like lose his concentration if he heard that song? Which I think it's just such a great walk up song. So that was on Twitter from @HurricanePT, one word, Aaron M. @HurricanePT. Thanks for that. That made me laugh the second I saw that.
Yeah, that is definitely, in my opinion, too, the winner. I like that one. When you told me that, I was like,
that's the best one we found. And I'll be honest with you, when we first thought of this, I think, honestly, we're trying to be creative, but everybody's walk-up song would be Thunderstruck by AC/DC. Because if you get the whole crowd going, you know, doing that chant, what would be better than that? But
well, my close first place for that though is Ride the Lightning. Metallica is pretty amazing.
So it's funny. So we could play that one. Now we played Ride the Lightning. Now, I actually, one of my songs that I picked, if I could do it, was also a Metallica song from the Ride the Lightning album, which is For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Amazing.
We could play that.
Yeah, I mean, when you think walk-up music, I immediately went Metallica in my head.
Right. And so, and then any other ones that you have in mind, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I have three as well because I thought about Bryce Harper's three. And mine was Joe Satriani surfing with the alien at this part.
Like that.
And then also, of course, House of Pain's Jump Around. Play it.
I like that one.
And, of course, I had to go with the digital.
Jump Around's good because it has that intro where, like, exactly. Everybody immediately knows.
Number 34.
You're taking Harper's number, I see.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I just flashed number 34 to the camera. No, and my last but not least, I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I could have gone wrestling themes, and I thought about The Undertaker and Stone Cold.
Actually,
but
it's funny you say that. We should play this song, Are You Ready?
Yeah.
The D-Generation X theme song.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell
All right, I decided instead, keep it simple. because that simple always wins. And I'm going with the Digital Underground's The Humpty Dance.
Nice.
We'll play it.
Just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top ten.
So, yeah, that one, the bass in that song is great, and people would love it. What about you, though? What are your, so, did you do three
right,
as well?
So I got a couple ones, not counting the Metallica one. I thought, you know, going back to the 80s, because I think of Mike Morse and his, like, take on me. I think I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins, which is the theme from Caddyshack.
That's amazing.
Would be amazing. Go play
that. That is a great one.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me
and then you can't think, not think of, like, the gopher groundhog or whatever dancing in that one. And then I have, in terms of, like, this song may have, like, the best actual intro of any song. And, you know, you want a song with a good intro, and that's Give Me Some Lovin' by the Spencer Davis Group. So we'll play that now. And that is, like, an old school song from, like, the late 60s.
Yeah.
And for my, like, modern song, I have One Foot by Fun. We'll play that. And that would just be
a good one.
That's just my song for, like, this week. You know how, like,
right.
All right, so Give Me Some Lovin' and I'm All Right, I might have all season. But, like, right now I'm listening to Fun a lot. So I'd want that song. I'd want to be able to, you know, go up to the guy in the booth and be like, all right, that song's off. There's a new album I'm listening to.
Right,
put that.
Exactly. So we have a late entry in from Maru37.
At Maru37.
At Maru37 says, is it too late to suggest Walk by Pantera?
Let's play it and decide. Good choice.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that one as well. He actually said that he thinks it would be good for Nick Johnson because he walked so much, which was kind of funny. So, now that we've gone through the non-relevant part of the show, but fun, and if you have any more, please do send them in because some of these just crack me up, some of the suggestions. So, I really like the Benny Hill one, and I really like when I listened to Power of Love, I was like, that is such a great suggestion. So anybody else has any more, send them in, and I'll be sure to post it on the site. So now let's get on to the real meat of the business here, our preseason predictions. You think the Nats are going to do good this year?
Oh, I think they're going to surpass 98 wins and go over the 100 mark.
Do you think they're going to hit the century mark and pass
it? I do. I think they're going to hit it. 100 to 101 wins is what I'm targeting.
It would not be unprecedented. They have some things going for them in the division, right? The Marlins and the Mets aren't going to be that good this year. Then again, the Braves are. I think that I submitted to the DC baseball writer poll that they send out every year. I think I said 98. But I'm going to amend that and put it to exactly 100.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them exactly at 100.
Then I'm going to go 101. I'll go one better then.
Fine.
Yeah.
Try to one up.
Write it down.
100 to 101.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the best team in the league.
Yep.
And it's amazing to see how many people predicted them to win. I'm looking on the Sports Illustrated site right now.
Right. How many?
Tom Verducci, Joe Lemire, Jay Jaffe, Joe Sheehan all picked them to win the World Series. And then the others were Tigers, Rays, and Tigers.
Tigers, Suncast. Are
you
believing
Suncast.
This? Is he there?
What's that?
He might not be there.
No,
Suncast,
I'm here.
You know, it's possible that it could be a Nationals versus Tigers World Series.
Tigers World Series. That's what's being.
You know, I got to tell you. I mean, I think the most baseball that I've really ever paid attention to was, like, I think it was 2006 when the Tigers were in the World Series.
Right.
And And I'll be honest, I was really, truly, genuinely disappointed the Tigers did not win that season.
That sounds really? Like the beginnings of a baseball fan.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention to them this year. They're going to be good.
Yeah, they always kind of do good, but then, you know, like every other Detroit team, never really make it.
Right. We know that feeling around here as well.
What's but, that area like, though, like around the stadium? Is it, like, nice, that new stadium?
You know, the area directly around it is not terrible.
Right.
That I mean, there's a lot of bars, as you would find next to any stadium.
Right. So it's like you could go with the family. It's, like, safe there.
In that particular area, I wouldn't go anywhere else.
Wow.
Well, okay. You know, you laugh, but I kind of felt that way. I feel like Baltimore was kind of that way when they first built the stadium. A lot of these stadiums are like that. We were talking about this, Colm.
Wait a second. Now that I think about it, if you go to the Nationals, there's no way you're leaving that circle radius of the stadium.
Right. And just think about what the Verizon Center neighborhood was like for our local listeners before – when they first built the Verizon Center, right?
Right.
Well, you would go down there for Chinese food because it was in Chinatown. They had good Chinese food somewhat. Actually, the Chinatown in D.C. kind of sucks. But you either went down there for that or you went down there for a game. But you wouldn't go to Chinatown at night to eat because it was dangerous. And if you went for a game, you went into the stadium and out of the stadium.
That's right.
And now, the last 5 years.
It's like Disney World there.
It's like, that's where Jose Andres opens all his restaurants. I mean, it's nice. And I'm
sure. You
know
what's so funny? I used to work down there when our friend of the show, SA51 on Twitter, he worked down there and I worked with him for a little bit at the place. And it was like before all that got built up.
Yeah, and it was just a bunch of like wooden, you know, temporary walls put up around city blocks that had buildings torn up and stuff. It was a nightmare.
So, anyway, it's going to be Nationals Tigers, so I guess. I just wanted to let you know.
That would be great.
All right.
Well, let's not.
I would definitely love to see the Tigers in another World Series. I think they kind of got gypped.
Right.
Well, we'll see. I don't know if I have them in it, but we'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
Before we get to our playoff predictions, Colm.
Yes.
Anything you want to talk about with the Nats themselves?
I mean, I'd love to. Let me see if I can bring up that line again that I sent to you. I'm going to go with.
You told me that you had a specific line for Bryce Harper. Let's hear it.
Here it is. I'm saying right now, Bryce Harper's line for the entire year: 289, 31 homers, 105 RBIs, and 23 stolen bases. There you go.
You know, for a blatant homer, I don't think that's at all out of the question. Like 289 is not, you know, you're not talking about a 315 hitter. 289, I think he's perfectly capable of doing. He hit 23 home runs last year. Who's to say he won't hit 31 this year?
Right.
And with that lineup, he's going to have a lot of chance at RBIs, right? The 23 stolen bases I like too. He's an aggressive base runner. I think he will. I think he's one of those guys that he'll have a lot of stolen bases, but you'll go – Maybe he got caught too much, right? Because he's fast and he's aggressive and he's going to run, but he's too young to really know. You know, there are guys like – actually, there was a great article that I'll put a link up to where they interviewed Coco Crisp, and he talked about who he was talking about when he stole, and he's like an 85% success rate at stolen bases. He's really, really good. And he just talked about – you know, when he was younger, he just wanted to steal the base. But now that he's older, he just wants to not get caught.
Right,
and
exactly.
Harper's young, and I think he's going to run into some outs sometimes. I think on balance, you'll be fine with it. But, you know, he may only have like a 70% stolen base rate, which is borderline. Maybe you shouldn't even be stealing that much. But I think he's going to get a lot. I think you're right.
Yeah. I'm not
going to argue with those stats. I mean, I see anywhere for him, anywhere between 25 and 35 home runs is possible. Now, nowadays, people aren't really hitting more than 40 anyway.
Right.
Right. So.
And the biggest thing for me, and I don't know if it's a fit, have they officially said the lineup it's going to be, but they have been looking at him.
But I think he's probably going to end up hitting third.
Exactly.
Fourth.
That, No. Recently, you've been third.
You're right.
Because you're moving Zimmerman to four.
Right, because that could, Davey likes to do lefty-righty. Span's a lefty, and you know he's going to lead off, right? And so that puts Worth as a righty as a number two guy. And then you could put Zimmerman third, but then you'd have two righties in a row with Worth and Zimmerman. So instead you put Harper third, who's a lefty, and then Worth fourth, who's a righty, and then LaRoche fifth, who's a lefty. And then Desmond sixth, who's a righty. So it works out perfectly to be lefty-righty.
Exactly. And the hope is also in that first inning, Span gets on base, Harper hits him in, and we are leading in early in the game. And that's like he is in my opinion, like we've seen him all throughout the lineup. We saw him last year. And now I think he's in the perfect spot for him to hit. I used to think Zimmerman was a good third hitter, but I think Harper needs to be there.
Well, I mean, I think third and fourth are pretty much the same spot. You know, I guess traditionally you put your best, absolute best hitter in the three spot, right? And so
he could get one more at bat in. I guess it comes out
week.
To
stats, over a week. Yeah, you get an extra at bat a week or so.
Right.
What
about you? Any predictions you want to go on? And say?
Well, I mean, you know, numbers-wise, I think...
Any 20-game winners, you know, things like that.
I think Strasburg's going to be really good this year. I think he's motivated. He works his butt off. He was great last year. And another year will... You know, the biggest thing for this pitching staff to me is they rarely went beyond the sixth inning last year. And I think they're going to do that a lot more this year. I think Strasburg is going to be... I don't know that he's going to win it, but I think he's going to be a Cy Young candidate. I think Gio's going to have another good year. I don't know if it'll be as good as last year, but I think he'll still be really good. And I think Jordan Zimmerman's going to be spectacular.
I was waiting for it because I really do think this is a Jordan Zimmerman 20-game year.
Why not, right?
Yep. I think because
he'll never lead the league in strikeouts, and I don't know if he'll ever be – You know, this year he was flirting with leading the league in ERA. I don't know if that'll happen again, but I think he could easily be, you know, top 20 in ERA and get 20 wins. Absolutely.
Because because he is a number three pitcher on our team, and which he would be questionably on some teams a one or a two on another team. And he's going against another pitcher that it will be at a number three or four for their team. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely, and I wrote about – you know, I ranked the – position players and the pitchers this week. And if you go to the nationalsreview.com, which, by the way, Colm, I have to thank you and our buddy SA for helping me make this site. As I said to my wife when she saw the website, and she said, this is amazing. She said, did you do this yourself? And I told her no. And she said, well, could you have done it? I said, yeah, I could have done it myself. It would have taken me – literally 10 times longer, and it still wouldn't look this good. There were things that you guys did that I couldn't have done, and it really would have taken me. I probably would have been done with this in June if I had done it myself. So I appreciate the help. So the new site is thenationalsreview.com, which you're probably at if you're listening to the podcast. But when I talked about the number three starter, you know, you compare him to the rest of the league. There's some decent number three starters. And the Phillies obviously have Cliff Lee, who is – he could be a number one starter on a lot of teams. But other than that, Jordan Zimmerman may be the best or second best behind Cliff Lee in the entire league as a number three. I mean, he's really a number two starter at a number three position. So,
yeah, I couldn't agree more.
But if you want to read more about where I think these guys rank in the NL East, just go to thenationalsreview.com and check out the position player rankings and the pitcher rankings.
Yeah, and thank you very much for the kind words. I think all three of us actually put in work on this. So
you guys did an awesome job, though, so I appreciate it. And I owe you an essay, a nice juicy cheeseburger. I told you guys I would. That was my payment.
I love cheeseburgers.
Well, there's a pretty good place by you guys.
Yeah.
Elevation Burger is one of Colm's weaknesses. So
it is such a weakness. I'll be sitting at home one day as I'm working, and I'm like, oh, it's lunchtime. I need to go get something to eat. And I'll be like, where should I go? Fine, I'll just go to Elevation. But now I don't get the fries.
Oh, then you're practically not eating anything bad at all.
Right. It's not the same. And I only get the kids burger now, not the Elevation burger, which I used to get.
Portion control.
Yeah. But Elevation burger, everyone should check it out. If you have one near you, you should tweet them to have one bring one to you because they are the best burgers out there.
I think they're good. They're kind of like they remind me of like a better version of Five Guys, but they're similar to Five Guys. Like they're not like they're not like a burger from I don't know Wendy's or McDonald's, and they're not like a burger from like Fridays or something like that. They're very to me they're very similar to Five Guys, but it's like higher quality.
That's a perfect description. It's like in between those exactly. You're right.
Ding ding ding.
It's almost like it's also a little bit a step above like grilling outside your house, but like really at that level.
You know, I was thinking if people don't mind us talking about this stuff, that's good, because this is how every podcast is going to go. We're not going to sit here and just talk about the Nats every time. We're going to end up talking about cheeseburgers.
That's why if you have any questions in the chat room.
And so if you guys have a problem with that, you're probably listening to the wrong podcast. Right. But we do talk about the Nats too, and since the season hasn't started and we've talked a little bit about what the Nats themselves are doing, it's really time to talk about our big predictions for the year, Colm. So, should we start over in the American League, league that we don't watch as much, and go down? Well, let's talk about who are your division winners in the American League.
All right. I'm going with – are we going to go East, Central, West?
Sounds good.
Okay. East. The Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, I disagree. Continue.
Wow.
Go ahead. Central.
Who are you going with? The sexy Toronto Blue Jay pick?
No, actually, I think the Rays are going to win the East this year.
Wow.
I have the Rays.
Really? I think they're in trouble this year, actually.
I don't know. Their young pitching is still spectacular, and then they're going to bring up Will Myers, and he's going to be even more spectacular.
I wonder whose fantasy team
you know,
that guy's on.
They're not the best hitters out there, but, oh, their pitching staff.
I wonder if Will Myers on his fantasy team for 3 years. Oh, that's right.
Sooner or later, he's going to come up. But so they have a Molina catching, so he helps frame the pitches. And, you know, their hitting is like, well, Desmond Jennings is going to play this year.
Yeah, awesome.
But, I mean, it's Price and Hellickson and Matt Moore and Jeff Niemann. Like, that's a 1-2-3-4 that can beat most people. And Price may not be the best one out there, although he did win the Cy Young Award last year. But, I mean, Hellickson is so good. And Matt Moore is going to be so good.
Matt Moore is an awesome pitcher. I will not disagree.
Matt Moore and David Price are going to strike out 400 hitters between the two of them.
That is true, but I just don't respect their offense.
No respect for their offense. I agree. Their offense does not deserve respect except for Evan Longoria. But I don't know. That's my pick. Who do you have in the Central?
Oh, of course. Suncast Zone, Detroit Tigers.
I also have the Tigers in the Central winning it all. Their lineup is just killer. And then they have Verlander, and they could throw out four dead bodies, and it's still Verlander, right?
Right.
So, you know, I think they're going to be tough to beat in the regular season at least.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can shut down Suncast's team.
Who do you have
in
this
team?
They have Cabrera, and they have Fielder, and they have Victor Martinez is back, and they have, you know, maybe Austin Jackson won't be as good as he was last year, but he's still really good. Right. They got, Torrey Hunter now, right? And then they have Verlander and Anibal Sanchez and Scherzer, and Rick Porcello is only like 24, 25.
Dude, like Rick Porcello, have you seen what, like, he had two of those games in spring where he looked great. But I think he was sort of like auditioning for another team.
Yeah, I've heard that too. But for now, we got Detroit and winning the Central. Who do you have out west?
Out west, everyone thinks I would say the Houston Astros, which I wish would happen. They're way
Astros
not ready.
Astros are barely fielding a major league team.
I know. They're not ready. I'm going with, and this is This is hard. This is the this division could go any way, so I don't know how you can even pick it, but I'm going to go crazy, and I think the team that's going to have the biggest improvement and hope the other teams don't is the Seattle Mariners.
Wow.
I like that
pitch. I would probably put them fourth behind. Wow. This division's crazy. Yeah, it's a crazy division. And so is the East, to be honest. Like, there are four teams that could win the East. But I have the Angels winning it, and I have them winning it over the Rangers close. I mean, I think the A's could be in the mix, too. I don't know. Who do you have in the wild card?
The wild card is two no wild other. Cards. Oh, yeah, that's right. It is two wild cards. I'm going with Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And the other wild card position, I am going with Texas.
So I actually have Toronto as one of my wild cards also. And my other wild card is Oakland.
Wow. So that could go either way for you then.
Yes.
You're probably Oakland. Oh, well, you said Angels, Texas.
So I have Angels. Yeah. Angels in the West and then Texas is the no, Angels in the West and then Oakland as the wild card.
Right.
Yeah. So I may have said the Angels will just beat out the Rangers, but what I meant is like just beat out the division and the Rangers.
Gotcha.
Because I do think that Oakland's got something going on, and I can't explain it with stats or anything, but they were really good last year.
Good. 94 wins.
You know, then again, they may be what I think that is going to happen to the Orioles, which is a serious regression, but who knows?
Right.
All right, so I'll go through what I have. So in the wild card game, I have Toronto beating Oakland. And then I actually have Toronto beating Detroit in the division series game. So I have Toronto making it to the championship game. And then the other division series, I have the Angels beating the Rays. So I have Toronto versus the Angels in the ALCS. And I have the Angels moving on to the World Series.
Wow. You're having the Angels come out. Now, I did not put in that much of the effort to do that, though.
So
I can tell you who comes out.
Your two wild card teams are.
Two wild cards.
Well, why don't you tell me who you're picking for the World Series?
World Series is going to be Detroit. There you go.
So you have Detroit. I think that's a perfectly reasonable pick, but
yes.
I don't know. There's something about the Angels, and maybe when we move on to our position player, Cy Young, MVP, Rookie of the Year awards, that will help you.
Yeah, that's true.
Explain. So in the NL. NL East, I got the
come
Nats.
Come on, Nats.
100 wins, 101 for you. Yeah. Natty Bows all around. The Central, we might have the same team in the Central as well.
You think we will?
I have the Reds.
Of course, the Reds. Dude, I love their pitching. I love their pitching, and I love their offense.
They got a perennial MVP candidate with Joey Votto, right?
Yeah. Course.
And they got really strong pitching. Matt Latos is a Cy Young candidate. They got Aroldis Chapman. Who knows where he's going to play?
Hopefully the closer.
In the West?
In the West, I'm going with no other than hopefully the Dodgers.
I have the Dodgers too. We have the same.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, the Dodgers are stacked.
Stacked.
You know, you want a sleeper pick? I think Josh Beckett's going to have a really good year this year because he started to look good when he came over to L.A. And maybe it was, you know, when you pitch in Boston that long and you're pitching against AL East opponents and you're pitching in that ballpark, maybe something about the move to the biggest ballpark there is.
Right.
I don't know. But he looked good at the end of last year. I think he's going to be good. And then they got Kershaw and then they got Matt Kemp. And they're just
stat. And Hanley.
Yeah, I think. Although Hanley...
I dropped
Hanley,
him on
out.
My fantasy team.
He's out for 2 weeks?
Two months?
Yeah.
Yeah, forget it. I'm not keeping him.
No.
All right, my wild cards?
Yeah, let me hear it.
My wild cards? Maybe the same for you. I mean, we follow the NL. I'm going with Milwaukee.
Ooh. You like that the Kyle Loge pickup, huh?
I do. I think they needed that really badly.
Yeah.
And I'm going with, this was hard because this one was between San Francisco and Atlanta.
Okay.
And I went with Atlanta.
So I don't have Milwaukee. I have the other two. I have the Braves and San Francisco as my two wild card teams.
That was the hard.
Yeah. The Braves are stacked. I mean, they've got possibly the best lineup or one of the best lineups other than maybe the Dodgers and maybe the Cardinals. I don't know.
Maybe the only other team that has a better outfield than us.
Yeah, that outfield is spectacular. The Upton boys and
Hayward.
Jason Hayward. I was going to say Dave Winfield because he's so often compared to him.
55-year-old Dave Winfield.
Is that what I was going to say is the guy that's compared to Dave Winfield. Well, I was trying to remember his name, but he named it. Anyway, in the wild card game, I have the Braves beating San Francisco in the one gamer, and then they have to play. The wild card team has to play the team with the best record, right? So it would be Nats Braves in the first round.
Nats.
And I have the Nats over the Braves.
Yep.
And then I have Cincinnati over the Dodgers. And I got the Nats over Cincinnati to bring DC to the World Series for the first time since 1920, whatever. I don't know.
That was fake. That was in the past. It didn't really happen.
AL team. So, World Series.
And
who went?
And they beat the AL team. Great.
I do have the Nats winning the World Series over the Angels, and I assume you have them over the.
Yeah. And let it be known, everyone out there that's saying, "Oh, of course they're going to pick the Nats." We did this last year, and we did neither of us pick the Nats. We picked them to go to the playoffs, so we were right on that.
No, neither of us. You picked them to go to the playoffs. I did not.
Did?
I did not pick them to go to the playoffs.
Well,
I
was a homer
this
pick.
Year. I thought this year was going to be what last year was. I thought this year was going to be like everybody's up. Harper's playing. I didn't expect Harper to come up in April, and I don't think anybody else did either. No. But there was injuries, and I didn't expect Harper to hit like the best 19-year-old. Or I think they said he had the third best season of any 19-year-old in 110 years. Wow. Nobody could predict that. I mean, you could pretend to predict that, but I didn't expect them to be quite that good. And now the expectations are there, people. I mean, it's hard not to pick them, right? We're not the only ones that picked them. Like I said, four out of seven of the Sports Illustrated people picked them too. Like, so, yeah, we may be homers, but whatever. So let's move on. Let's move on to the position awards.
Yes.
Who do you have as your American League MVP?
Oh my God, there's just so many great players. I don't know who to pick. I'm going with Miguel Cabrera.
The repeat performance.
I think the guy is awesome. He's an incredible hitter. And I don't think the Angels, I guess, have the other guy who I would pick. Trout could run for it. He could also be incredible again this year. But
he's
I'm going with Miguel Cabrera.
So this goes back to my Angels pick. I'm going with Albert Pujols.
Wow, you love him.
I think so. Albert Pujols.
I don't love him.
Historically, one of the best players in the history of baseball for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Is he done? I don't think so. He's only going to be 33 this year. I think he's back to being Albert Pujols again. I think he's back to being a 300 hitter with, you know, well, last year he was a 285 hitter with 30 home runs. If the Angels had done a little better, there's a good chance that, well, obviously Trout would have taken all the voting away from him, but he was still he's still got a vote or two. I think he's going to do that slightly better. Like last year he hit 285 and slugged 516. So if he hits 300 and slugs 550, and hits 35 home runs instead of 30 home runs, there's a good chance he's going to win it anyway. So that's my pick. What about in the NL?
NL, I'm going with Votto.
Votto. So the funny thing is, I did not go with Votto. But
really?
Going back to the Sports Illustrated pundits, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the 7 also went with Votto. Which is a good bet. If the Reds make the playoffs, he's their best hitter by far. MVP's come out of playoff teams. There's a good chance it's going to be Votto. But do you know who they picked as the other two voters both picked Bryce Harper as their MVP. But that's not who I'm picking.
I did give you MVP-type numbers in my prediction, so there you go.
I'm actually picking Ryan Zimmerman as the MVP.
Wow!
And the reason I'm picking Ryan Zimmerman is because of what he did in the second half last year and how he looks in the spring and what position he plays and how good the Nats are going to be. All that combined is going to, to me, say he's going to have a better batting average than Harper. I think they're going to both have a ton of power, but I think Ryan Zimmerman's going to be that sort of, you know, story about being a glue guy and all that stuff. And I just, for some reason, I think he's going to have the best numbers on the team this year. I think he's going to finally put together what everybody said he could do. And was it 3 years ago? I'm going to look this up real fast. There was a year where if the Nats weren't horrible, he would have gotten MVP votes. He would have gotten a lot of MVP votes.
Oh, but right, right.
It was, let me look right
now.
He
had like 23 home runs or something that year? He bet like three something?
In 2009, he hit 33 home runs. He batted .292, and he was 25th in MVP voting. The next year, he hit slightly better with 8 less home runs. And 85 RBIs instead of 106 RBIs, and he got 16th place in MVP votes. And to me, that wasn't because they thought he did better. It was carryover because people starting to notice how good he was.
Wow.
So that 2009-2010 season era, if Ryan Zimmerman comes back and does that on this team this year, that guy's easily a top 10 guy because of how good the Nats are going to be. And the question is, can he push it over? I think he's going to win it this year. I just have, for some reason, I have a feeling about Zimmerman. I'm very bullish on Zimmerman this year.
Wow. Is he? Oh, yeah, he's on my fantasy team. I love it. You're just picking all my guys.
I love it. All right.
All right, so Cy Youngs. I'm going with, what?
Go ahead. Who's your AL Cy Young award?
AL Cy Young? I'm going with Jared Weaver.
Jared Weaver.
Yes.
That could be it. That's not who I picked, but I like that pick.
Who'd you pick? I think he's great.
I actually went with a repeat of the 2011 Cy Young.
David Price?
Justin Verlander. Right. Justin Verlander.
Suncast again.
Back to the Tigers. I mean, Verlander's so good. He could win it every year. I feel like they don't give it to him every year because they're tired of voting for him. But, yeah. I got Verlander.
How do you feel on little? Sorry, we're running long. Chris Sale.
I don't think he's that good. I think he's a good player. I think he really is. Wow. I'm not like dogging him, but I don't know if he's a Cy Young guy year after year. I'm just not there with him yet. I could be wrong.
I'm high on him.
I mean,
all right. NL?
I'm high on him. I think he's a great, you know, like saying somebody isn't going to win the Cy, I still think he's like a really good player.
Right.
My NL is kind of boring. Clayton Kershaw. I just think he's the best
pitcher. Yeah,
same with me. I just think he's the best pitcher in the league right now. Well, combination of pitching in a pitcher's park and being the best pitcher in the league. So
right.
I got him, and I think they're going to make the playoffs. So. Right. Now, this one's a little tougher. The final category is Rookie of the Year.
Correct.
So who do you have as the AL? Well, I already kind of gave away my AL Rookie of the Year. I can tell you both.
I'll tell you AL and NL, and they're both on my fantasy team. I picked them. I picked
one
3 years ago, and I picked the other one 2 years ago, and that is Oscar Tavares and Will Myers.
So I have Will Myers in the AL as well. I think this is kind of like I like to pick my teams that make the playoffs and then have my voting guys make sense for that. You know, like, oh, I picked the Rays to win the East. How are they going to do that? Well, they need Will Myers to be Rookie of the Year. So I picked him as well.
Yeah.
My NL Rookie of the Year is actually, I hope it doesn't happen, but it's Tejeron on the Braves. I think he's
awesome.
I think he's such a talent, and he's their number 5 starter. I ranked him as the best number 5 starter in the NL East. Talent-wise, he clearly is. Now, whether he can put that together in a season is yet to be seen. But I just, you know, I think he's going to go out there. He's going to have double-digit wins. He's going to help the Braves make the playoffs, and he's going to win Rookie of the Year. And there's no there's no hitter to come out and hit 20 home runs in the NL, I think, the way Harper did and the way Trout did, to just make it obvious. So,
right.
I think when there's no super obvious hitter, the pitchers have a better chance.
Right. All right. Well, I think we made it to the end. It was a super long show. I think
we haven't talked in a while.
I think.
Yeah, and we'll try and do the next one. We'll try and go back to our every 2 week schedule now that the season started, because we'll have games to talk about.
How do you feel about Wednesday nights?
Wednesday nights work for me.
What if we started earlier too? Would that be better too?
Maybe.
We'll talk about that later. Why am I discussing this now on live? No, but everyone, check out thenationalsreview.com. That is the site. It's been newly
totally
designed.
Revamped
totally. This is I believe we're celebrating. The site is older, but the podcast is celebrating its 1 year inception. I think we started right around beginning
That's
of last
right.
year.
That's right. Yes. Yes. The very first day. And if you're listening, we don't need to tell you this, but just in case you couldn't find it, you scroll down on the site, there's a section in red with a red bar up top that has all of the podcasts. So whenever you want to go to the podcast, you can go straight to the site and scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see the podcast posted up there. So the podcast
Correct.
Has its own little section on the site.
There you go. So if you want to, if you're a podcast listener, it's right there. And if you're also interested in video, let us know. If you also watched this tonight and you enjoyed it, let us know about that. This was just a test. So, but the audio podcast is, of course, the bread and butter. So thank you for listening. And you can follow me on Twitter at Culmination.
And follow the Nationals Review at Nationals Review.
All right.
Thanks for everybody who gave us your input on the walk-up songs. That was fun, and keep it up. If you got more, we'd love to hear them.
Please, yes. Please contact
and
us.
All and all comments, awesome. We love them. Keep them coming. Gotten some good comments this week already on some of the posts. We'd love to hear more. They are very – it's very exciting to see you guys comment, so keep it up, please.
Yes, and you pretty much respond to every comment on the site.
I do my best. I do my best.
Amazing. And, of course, a super thank you to the GFQ Network and Suncast for producing
Absolutely.
The show tonight. Yes. Thank you, Suncast. Hello? Suncast?
I'm here.
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you can follow him at Suncast on Twitter.
That's S-U-N-K-A-S-T, because a lot of people get confused and they say, oh, it's with a C.
I would have thought that.
With a K.
I would have thought that. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. There you go. Suncast. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And we will be back in 2 weeks, pretty much.